Good morning, good morning, good morning. The music died. It must be time to start. So here we are, surviving without my wife. As most of you know, she flew to Ohio and is there. Had a memorial service yesterday for her great niece, and that was a good time with family and others. So we covet your prayers continuing for them. Hollis and Kathy are still down south as well. Remember them. And we'll mention others later. So welcome each and every one. Alan's getting in his place. Now we can start. And let's see. Steve is with us again. Steve Hewitt for two Sundays in a row now. It's getting dangerous. And D-Wayne is manning the camera today. Thank you, D-Wayne and Anita up there. As they help fill in things for us. Dee's back for two Sundays in a row as well. We might have to make her another belonger. This isn't for you, Dee, sorry. Jim and Brittany, would you come up here with Bennett again, please? This recognizes that Jim and Brittany Byers commit to raising their son Bennett Byers in the training and instruction of the Lord. A beautiful picture there with the family all gathered around praying together, and a little close-up of Bennett. So there you go. That's yours. Congratulations again. Give them a hand. Thank you for letting us be a part of that special time last Sunday. And we all commit ourselves as well as helping you any way we can. I volunteered to lick Bennett's face clean from the donuts, but Brittany beat me to it, so I wasn't able to do that, but maybe next time. All right, Jimbo said he would be okay with it, so I guess, all right. I guess the rest of you are who you are. Welcome back, Mike and Beth Ann. We missed you last Sunday. Glad you're back with us.
We missed us, too.
You missed us, too. We missed you, too. All righty. Well, let's see. Who's got a colored bulletin insert? Whoa, Joanna. Congratulations. And Dee. Joanna and Dee. Double trouble, those two right there. Yes.
Have no idea.
Oh, have no idea. Yeah. Well, we have a small idea. Some idea. Yes. Okay. Yeah, let's see what we've got for coming events, shall we? This isn't in the announcement, just a reminder to the church council members who are here. I think we've got a quorum, yes. Just a quick meeting after the service to address a few things. Wednesday, there will not be a Bible study due to... Am I playing with you, Anita? Okay. Due to... What's next? Due to the Passover meal... Thursday night at 6, and most of you have signed up. If you haven't yet, please do so. Otherwise, we'll be calling to make sure we got the right number. Alrighty, so we celebrate that next Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, special celebration. We look forward to that. And all right, what else is that? That's it. Okay, today is Palm Sunday. John 12 says, the next day the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
So Brett was reading this morning, first thing early, before anyone else arrived. He says, we having a festival today? And I go, He says, it says right here, they come for the festival. That's what we're having today on Palm Sunday. It's in the scripture there. All righty, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that we can come rejoicing and celebrating into your house today. It is a festival, and we're thankful, Lord, for the freedom to do so. Thankful for each one here, and mindful of those that we're missing today. We pray your blessing on them wherever they're at and whatever their condition. Thank you, as always, that we're one in spirit, and we can be united together as we remember each one. Thank you, Lord, for the beginning of what we call Holy Week and the celebration of who you are, what you've done for us. And especially today with palm branches, we will wave and celebrate you. And we just pray, Lord, that your Spirit would enable us to honor and glorify you through all of it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Stand and greet. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you forget something?
Yeah.
Got to get your shoes. Those are pretty shoes. Go match those pink slippers. Whoa. Got to catch my breath here. I'm still a little trying to get over the cardio. Julie, hi, welcome. Good to see you again. All righty, so here we are, as we said, the beginning of Holy Week, as it's called, with the celebration of Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and the people waving their palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the King. And then we followed up with the Passover meal on Thursday. There's Good Friday. Next Sunday, of course, Resurrection celebration. And that'll be special this year in different ways, so I look forward to that. But in the meanwhile, we're going to just focus and look today at the events and the people that were connected with what happened that original first Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And we're going to try to figure out where we fit into the story. Okay, are you up for that? See what kind of palms you want to claim today and be a part of your celebration. And as you already see, it's palms of praise, peace, and Pharisees. Which one do you want to be? Think about it. You don't have to commit yourself right yet. Might have some interesting things to share that will help you decide on that. But the whole story with the palm branches included is found in John's Gospel, chapter 12. So, Alan, if you'll just read that.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches, went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion, see your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.
Okay, pretty easy to identify the three kinds of palms here, I think. The palm branches waving first, of course, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus on the colt of a donkey, coming into Jerusalem, not on a stallion to conquer, but on a donkey, a little colt, which was the sign of peace, coming in peace. And of course, then we got the Pharisees at the end of the story who are a little troubled by what's going on. And we'll look at all of these in a little more detail. First of all, it won't be hard for you to fill in the blanks. Maybe you've already done that. We look first at the palms of praise. And though the Pharisees and their friends disapproved of what was going on that day, Jesus made it clear to them that palms of praise are a God-created thing. Okay, so Matthew lends some insight into this in Matthew chapter 21.
But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Yeah. God created praise. He instills it in children, infants. You have ordained praise. And even if we don't, the rocks are going to cry out and praise the Lord. There's going to be praise going on. We can choose to be a part of it or not, and we can have that mindset of the Pharisees sometimes, maybe, hopefully not, and we want to be a part of the praise that's going on. The writer of Hebrews next reminds us that palms of praise are a pleasing sacrifice to God in Hebrews 13.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
Did you ever think of praise being a sacrifice? In what way is it a sacrifice?
When you don't feel like it.
Especially when you don't feel like it, yeah. Why would you praise in times like that? It is a sacrifice. It is an acknowledgement of surrendering ourselves to the Lord, accepting his will, even in bad times. And so that is a sacrifice. Of course, we give sacrifices in different ways in worshiping the Lord, and hopefully sacrifice of praise is the main thing. Through Jesus, the writer of Hebrews said, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise. Through Jesus, it's because of him that we're able to do this. And he said, don't forget to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the sacrifice of praise extends to, as always, how we relate to others, how we respond to what they're going through. And this is a praise offered to God when we extend his love to others. It's one way of showing how much we love God and that we want to worship him and praise him, not just in word, not waving the palm branches only and all of that, but as we live out his love and his grace and his mercy in our lives. With such praises, God is pleased. Paul then elaborates on these sacrificial palms of praise in Romans chapter 15.
Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, so that you may overflow with this praise. And so a number of times here, Paul is talking about the relationships that we have with each other, and we as Gentiles, of course, added to the praise of the Jews, and that we can share this together, and as we do so, it causes rejoicing and praising to the Lord. In that first line, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order or so that to bring praise to God. Did you know that when you accept someone else with the love of Jesus, that is a praise to God? That's something he considers a praise to him. And so again, it expands our understanding of what it means to have palms of praise. It's not just waving the palm branch, it's extending, as Jesus did, his own hands to others, and this is one way that we can praise the Lord. Peter then adds his own perspective to these palms of praise in 1 Peter 1.
In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Yeah. If you didn't know earlier when we sang, joy unspeakable and full of glory comes out of this passage in Peter. You believe in him and are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? There you go. And I didn't do this on purpose, but it's very appropriate, Linda, that you got two verses with so that's. in it, because we really appreciate the way you emphasize the so that's. And in this case, in this one here, it says that these, the trials that we're going through, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. Yes, as Beth Ann was just saying, when we're going through those difficult things, there is good purpose in them. Now, we may not feel that way, we may not see it that way at the time, but if we're trusting God and believing in Him, the purpose of them is to result in praise, glory, and honor to Him when we demonstrate our faith and our trust in Him. That's one way to praise God. So I hope that can be of encouragement to us as well, when we're going through it, to know that God is working His good purposes through it, and the end result will be that there's praise, glory, and honor given to Him. Maybe not only just from ourselves, but from others who are observing how we are handling what we're going through, and that it's encouraging to them as well. And so these are just different aspects of the poems of praise. Finally, John the Revelator reminds us that poems of praise will be an essential element, of course, when we get up there to heaven around the throne. This is in Revelation chapter 7.
After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
Can you imagine? Can you just picture it? Do you think it'll happen literally like that?
Yes.
I don't know if it will, but it'll be glorious one way or another. And waving the palm branches around the throne, singing, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb, who sits on the throne." Just save that, because we're going to share that together at the end this morning. So that's palms of praise. You want to have palms of praise? You have palms of praise this morning already? Yes. Want to have more palms of praise? Just keep doing the things that God's Word encourages us in here. Second type of palm we'll see, of course, is palms of peace. We've referred to this already. This comes especially the insight from Matthew and Mark when they add their perspectives on the things that happened that day. Matthew 21 and Mark 11.
"This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, Gentile, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
And the other, thank you.
"Which no one has ever ridden."
Okay, so he came in as a Gentile, did he? It says gentle.
Gentle.
We want to emphasize gentle. We already did the Gentile thing, all right? So now, gentle or in a peace, all right? So Matthew makes a point to quote Isaiah the prophet who had prophesied that this would happen, and the point being that he does come gentle on a donkey. He doesn't come on the stallion of war to conquer and kill people. And then Mark adds the little thought, this is only found in Mark, "which no one had ever ridden." Why would Mark make that point? Is there some connection there with what Jesus is offering to us?
Yeah, it had been... The donkey realized who it was, didn't buck him off.
All right, if you didn't hear that, Beth Ann said the donkey realized who he was and didn't buck him off. So anyway, a donkey never having been ridden, if we may say, a virgin donkey, so to speak, saved especially for this moment in history, had the privilege of having Jesus ride on him in to represent the peace that he comes in. And so Matthew and Mark are helping us to understand and appreciate this palms of peace. Are you guys having to trade off things here? I know they're in the wrong order. You're supposed to be on that side of them. No, I'm just teasing. It's okay. Get it straightened out there, will you? Otherwise, I'm going to do something with my palm that won't be peaceful. Sorry. Okay, so Isaiah had prophesied that, and there's another thing that Isaiah prophesies here in chapter 9, Isaiah 9. Who's got that? Thank you, Wayne.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Yes, so Isaiah makes the point here. He does come to be king. He does come to rule. He will have a government, but it's a government of peace and righteousness. And he comes as the Prince of Peace. That's his title. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, all of that. And so that emphasis is something that we need to remind ourselves of as well. When we're in spiritual warfare and battle with the enemy, to know that he does offer us peace, even in the midst of the war. And, in the midst of the storm or however we may think of it, that peace is available to us because he is the ruler of it all. And he offers that to us if we will just allow it to happen. We're going to touch on that again later as well. Isaiah and Paul then elaborate on this poems of peace in Isaiah 26 and Galatians 5.
You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Yeah. Why does and how is God able to keep our minds in perfect peace? How does it happen? Because we do what? Because we trust in him, for those who trust in him. All right, so we've touched on that already. Just reemphasizing, he will keep our minds in perfect peace if we will trust in him. And then, one of the fruits of the Spirit, of course, is peace. What does that fruit follow? Which fruits come before that? Love, joy, peace. And it follows the palms of praise to peace. They responded in love to the Lord. They gave their praise. And as a result of that, the peace comes. And the fruits of the Spirit have kind of a progression in them, and then the other fruits follow. We're not going to elaborate all of that today. But just to understand that there is a connection between loving the Lord, responding with praise, peace comes from that. Praise is one way that we trust and demonstrate our faith in him. And we're going to add a little bit more to that as we go on. Paul goes on to remind us of the connection between praise and peace in Philippians chapter 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I say to you, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Is it really clear, the connection between praise and peace? Rejoice, rejoice again. I say rejoice, let your gentleness or peace be evident to all. You rejoice, your peace is going to be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. And all of these things, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. I said many times, thanksgiving demonstrates that we do believe in him. We trust in him. We can claim the victory ahead of time because he is faithful. And as a result of that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there is an unbreakable, I was looking for another word, but unbreakable bond between praise and peace. Peace is always going to result when we give praise. That's the way God has designed it. That's the way it works. So, finally, Paul reminds us that it's up to us if we are going to have palms of peace. Colossians chapter 3.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful.
Yes, let. We've talked about this in our Bible study on Wednesday nights. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? You're called to peace, Paul said. Be thankful. Make that connection again. We let the peace of God rule by being thankful. Palms of praise leads to palms of peace. Well, we got one third type of palm that we want to talk about this morning. Ones that we're going to want to reject, actually, and not spend a lot of time on, lest we find that we have blood on our palms. Palms of Pharisees, yes. Okay, they were there, Matthew chapter 12 and following.
But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. What shall I do then?
Oh. Do you have more? Oh, that's, just save that for a second. Sorry. Wasn't there like a gap in between? Seriously? Is all like together? My bad. I take ownership of that. I have blood on my hands now. Okay. So anyway, they handed him over to Pilate. Pilate, as we remember, tried to avoid having palms of Pharisees. He washed his hands. He says, I wash my hands of this. I'm not going to be guilty of what you're doing. And so we're here this morning, hopefully, with palms of praise and peace and want to wash our palms of the Pharisees and what they're playing. So we continue then, picking it up.
What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, many people who had earlier in the week, as we know, who were waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord by Friday, many of them had turned and changed their minds and were part of the crowd that were crying, crucify him, crucify him. So it's possible to give up the palms of praise and peace and have palms of Pharisees. Anyone want to be that today? No, none of us do. None of us do, of course, we don't. And yet, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I was there. My sins were on the cross, along with everybody else's sins. We all had part in having palms of Pharisees. However, the good news is we don't have to continue to have those palms. We, like Pilate, can wash our hands of the whole affair and say, no, I'm keeping my palm of praise and the peace that it brings to me. We can make a choice. We have the choice what kind of palms we're going to hold or have today. And I know what your hearts are. We all want to continue to carry those palms and the peace that it brings. Let me encourage you to know that when the times do get tough, when it does get difficult to keep hanging on to the palm of praise, that is in that moment that you're deciding whether to crucify him again or not. The writer of Hebrews says that if we fall away in our faith, we are crucifying him again. So we have to be careful about giving up the praise and the peace that it brings. And the devil is at work. He is sly. He's going to use the battles we're undergoing, the discouragements that come sometimes, the doubt sometimes, to toss the palm of praise away and have palms of Pharisees once again with blood on our hands. I certainly don't want that. You don't want it. And so I invite you to join me today to pick up the palm branch again and to declare that this is going to be something you hang on to for the rest of your life until we exchange it for a more glorious palm branch around the throne. I can only imagine what, I mean, these are beautiful, aren't they? I love palm branches. They just have, there's something about them. It's what they represent. What?
Lifting.
Yes, good. I wonder how much more glorious they can get when we get to heaven. I don't know. I look forward to that. But I think what we ought to do in response to God's word is to pick the palm branches up again and practice a little bit what we're going to be singing around the throne. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Shall we do that? You need that palm branch. You can have two. Okay.
On the throne and unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.
Power and glory be to you forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father, again for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus. He alone is worthy of our praise. We join the crowd that celebrated his coming so many years ago. And Lord, we commit ourselves to not throwing the palm branch away of praise and peace, but hanging on to him. Not joining the crowd that yelled, "Crucify you," even though we were there and guilty as well. Help us not to fall away again to crucify you again, but to be those who are victorious, those who display your glory, your power in our lives. not only for our own sake, but for the sake of others. Thank you, Lord, that you can use us to be lifted up, and others will be drawn to you as a result. That's the desire of our hearts today and in the days ahead, and especially through this week, may we honor and glorify you and point others to you. Whatever opportunities you give to us, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient. Thank you for that privilege and that honor. We thank you, Lord, again that Dee's back with us and doing well. We pray your continued blessing for her. We continue to lift up Mike and Frida. Pray that her goal and stated timetable might be yours, or maybe you'll be ahead of her. We don't know. But you do, and we just thank you that you are with them and that Mike is making progress. And we just pray that you will continue to give them the grace that they need through whatever time this takes. And as well, we're thankful Mike and Beth Ann can be with us again and your continued work in them and through them, and the blessing they are to us. We continue to lift up Sue to you also, and Libby, needing your healing touch, Terry, Anita's sister, as well. Thank you, Lord, that in each of these cases, we know that you're with these, even though sometimes we can't see them for long periods of time. We're thankful that our prayers can make a difference, and that they can continue to progress as you provide your healing touch. Pray you continue to watch over Hollis and Kathy in their travels and their time with family and the things that they are taking care of. May it be a rich time for them and a safe return. Also for my good wife, thank you, Lord, for the time she's able to have with her family in this difficult period. And through it all, you're working your eternal purposes in glory. And we're thankful for that, that we can entrust anything and everything to you, knowing that you are faithful and that we are able to just surrender it all to you and have the peace that you offer to us as we praise you, even in the midst of the storms. And as always, we know that others have their own expressions of praise and petition that they uplift to you now.